Well, hey, my name is Chris. I'm the campus pastor of our campus over in Westfield. And if you are new or maybe joining us for the first time in a long time, man, it's a great time to be here. We are in At the Movies, week number three, and we're looking at this movie, The Jungle Cruise. And man, this is honestly such a great movie. If you haven't seen it yet, I really encourage you to watch it. I watched it just a couple weeks back with my wife, and we laughed our way through this. And today we'll be looking a little bit deeper into the story here. And as we look at this movie, you know, it's not great just because The Rock is in it, although that is a good part of it. It's not great just because Emily Blunt is in it, and she's excellent as well. But this movie is honestly, it's great because of the amount of dad jokes in it. If you're a dad jokes fan, maybe any dad jokes fan, maybe consider yourself to be a dad jokes aficionado. Dad or not, man, this is your movie. You don't want to miss it. And so this movie it's a thrill ride down the Amazon where we find this wisecracking skipper. His name is Frank. That's The Rock right there. And this intrepid researcher named Dr. Lily Houghton. And Lily, she's traveling from London, England to the Amazon in search of this quest to find something bigger, something greater, something that connects to the eternal. She's determined to find this ancient tree that has this unparalleled healing power that can change the future of medicine and really long-lasting life as a whole. And so they're thrust onto this epic quest together, and the unlikely duo, they encounter all these supernatural forces all throughout the movie, and it's incredible, incredible story. But as the secrets of this tree unfold, the stakes, they get higher for Lily and Frank and really for all of mankind. And like I said, it is a great movie. If you haven't seen it yet, I want to encourage you, go home and watch this. And it's not just because of the dad jokes, although that's a nice piece. It's not just because The Rock is in it, and I'm a big fan of The Rock. Like, I go back to WWE Rock. Like, that's my Rock. And so when I see him on movies, like, man, this is my guy. I mean, I love this. But there's so much more to this movie. You see, the story is one that follows the Jungle Cruise at the Magic Kingdom in some ways. If you've never taken that ride, never been down to Disney, I mean, you'd have to ride it to get a full picture, or you can watch this movie. But if you've ever taken this ride, you kind of have an idea of where we're headed. But as I watched this movie, I saw so much imagery. I saw so much imagery, so many connections to our story, to my story, to your story, to the story of the church, the imagery of the church and our role in the world, our role to be a guide and to direct and to provide light in the midst of darkness. And it's really this great connection to the mission of the church as a whole, but specifically the church here, right here in the seats, or whether you're joining us online at home right now, of helping people find their way to God. And now The Rock may not have been helping Lily find her way to God, but he was her guide as they sought out the eternal. This something that had a purpose that was far beyond just themselves and far beyond just their lives. And this movie, it's so full of connections for all of us that we're all seeking something more. We're all searching for something that's beyond what we know, whether it's a new direction in life, whether it's someone to walk through life with, whether it's greater purpose in our career or in a future endeavor, whether it be in school or outside of the classroom, we are all searching for more. We're all searching for something bigger than ourselves. And that's what this movie, The Jungle Cruise, is all about. And so today, as we dive into the story of The Jungle Cruise, it reminded me of another story from the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament, second half of the Bible. And we're going to look at one of our favorite characters to look at here at Crosswind. His name is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to dive into this story that's found at the very end of the book of Acts. And it's written by one of Paul's friends, one of his oftentimes his partners in crime, the guy named Luke. And Luke was a doctor. Luke was a medical doctor. He was someone who investigated things to their fullest extent. He was someone that was always trying to put the pieces together. Like, how did we get here? How do we get to this point? And so Luke was one that is writing these things as he walks with Paul, as he journeys through life with Paul. And it's in this passage that we find Paul and we find Luke on a bit of a jungle cruise of their own. Except unlike the movie, Paul is actually a prisoner in transport to Rome. And now you might be wondering, like, how did we get here? I thought Paul was like a big deal. Isn't Paul like one of those guys that's always out front? He's always leading. He's always got important things to say. Like, how is he now a prisoner on a boat headed towards Rome? And which is a good question to ask. You see, Paul is one that absolutely was doing all those things, but it didn't always go the way that he thought it should go or expected that it would go. And it eventually caught up with him with the Jewish leaders, and they charged him, and they imprisoned him. And the Roman rulers, who were above the Jewish leaders, they actually looked at Paul and they looked at his case and they said to each other, well, we can't really try this guy. I mean, there's nothing here to really convict him. I mean, he didn't really do anything wrong according to our rule book. But before they could tell Paul that, Paul, he appealed his case to Caesar, which is essentially like you or I taking our case all the way up to the Supreme Court. You see, Paul was a Roman citizen, and he had the ability to appeal his case immediately to the highest court, immediately to the court of Caesar. And so he does just that. And this was the journey for Paul and for his scribe, Luke, Dr. Luke, on their way to Rome. And so they've been placed on this ship, and they're headed towards Rome, and they're out to sea in the middle of the Mediterranean. And they're traveling in the Mediterranean in the late fall, which I don't know if you've ever been to the Mediterranean in the late fall. I haven't. It sounds amazing. I mean, that sounds great. Sign me up. But I hear that you don't want to be in a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean during the late fall, because that's when the storms come. That's when the waves get big. That's when it gets a little dangerous to be out in the middle of the water. And although the sailors knew this, they went out anyways. They took their cargo, they took their prisoners in tow, and that's where we're going to pick up the story right here. This is what it says. This is Luke writing. He says, we had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared I don't know. It's not really that important. It's a place in the middle of the Mediterranean. If you know how to say it, hey, good for you. But the wind was against us. And so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island past the Cape of Salmone. And we struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. I mean, if you didn't have your Mediterranean map out, this is a time to grab it, because we're seeing all of it right now. And so we had lost a lot of time, Luke's writing. He's writing about their journey, Paul and Luke. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late into the fall. And Paul, he spoke to the ship's officers about it. This is what Paul says. He says, men, I believe that there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives. And so you can go on, you can read this entire chapter. This is Acts 27 if you want to read the whole thing. But something I noticed as I was looking at this, as I'm looking at the Jungle Cruise, I'm finding the connections between the two, is that there is incredible hardship going on all throughout this journey. If you look at chapter 7, you read through it, actually over 10 times we see words like this. We see words like difficult. Or great difficulty, or that we struggled, or we lost a lot of time. It was dangerous. There was trouble ahead. There was danger. We were afraid. We had lost our hope. Does this sound familiar to you? Does this language hit a little close to home for you? Maybe something you've walked through recently, maybe the last 18 months of your life. Yeah, to me, it sounds like this past season that we've been walking through, all of us together. It's been difficult. There's been trouble ahead. There's been danger at times. It's definitely felt like at times that all hope was lost, that it was never going to go back to the way we thought it would. And at times it felt like there was no turning back. We were just on this collision course, that we were headed towards a shipwreck that we couldn't turn around from. And there's been so many different levels of difficulty, so many different levels of hardship during this past season. There's this pandemic, and then there's the economic difficulties and relational and social difficulties. And it's all been across the board in really every facet of our lives. It's felt at times like we were just completely out of control, that we'd lost our sense of direction, that we'd lost our navigational systems. And it's exactly where we find Lily, it's exactly where we find Frank in the middle of the Amazon River on this jungle cruise, chugging along using these rudimentary hand-drawn maps to help make their next moves. Always in search of something bigger. And it's where we find Paul in the midst of this story. You see, the sailors at this time, they would sail with the help of the sun, with the help of the moon, the stars. But we see in this story that the sun, the moon, the stars are blocked out by these storms, that the storms continue to rage, and they're essentially sailing blind. And Paul, he's just there. He's a prisoner in transport. He's not in charge. He's completely out of control, aboard a ship headed towards a disaster. And I'm sure if we were able to get a glimpse into the mind of Paul, if we were able to really get a glimpse into his heart and see what was he thinking at this time? What was he feeling? What were some of the thoughts that he had in the back of his mind? I'm sure we'd see some frustration. I'm sure we'd see some anxious thoughts, as you would be feeling, as I would be feeling. I'm sure there'd be some question marks. I'm sure Paul would be asking the question, like, God, what's happening here? Like, I thought I was supposed to go to Rome. I thought I was supposed to appeal my case to Caesar so that I could take the gospel to the center of the Roman world in order for it to go out to the ends of the earth. Like, isn't that what you wanted me to do? And now I'm just stuck on this ship headed towards a shipwreck in the middle of the Mediterranean with no hope. You see, Paul, he's got to be feeling the wind and the waves and the storm that's surging, the danger that's just around the corner. And at the same time, Paul, he's right in the middle of his purpose. He might feel like it's all lost, that God has just left him, that God has abandoned him, that he was completely off course on this boat. But God's not done with him yet. And I'm sure that there's been moments over the last 18 months, if you're anything like Paul, if you're anything like me, that you've had those thoughts. Moments where you found yourself questioning, wondering, where is God right now? Like, did I miss something? Like, was I supposed to turn there? Like, did I completely get the directions wrong? I thought I was on track, God. I thought I was in your purpose. I thought my marriage was going to be restored. I thought my business would provide for my family, that my education was on track. You got to be wondering, like, God, where are you right now? God, where are you? And it's in moments like this, moments when you find yourself questioning all of it, that I hope that you'll take Paul's words to heart here. That I hope that you'll begin to dig into Paul's words and lean in just a little bit closer. Check out what Paul says right here, Acts 27. He says, "So take heart, for I believe God. It will be just as he said." That's right, take heart. He actually says it a couple of times here. So let me say it again. Take heart. It's not over yet. That job that you've been chasing, that relationship that needs some mending, that degree that might seem like it's out of reach right now, that church that you plan to start, take heart. Don't let the storms of life cloud your navigational systems. Take heart. God is still in control. Even when you can't trace him in the midst of the storms, you can still trust him. He hasn't forgotten about you. You can still trust him right now. And you may have heard in that list of things I was rattling off there, you know, that job, that degree, that church that you plan to start. You know, this is where the story of Paul got a little close to home for me as I was reading it this past couple weeks. And, you know, I don't know how much you know about this new campus that we've been talking about over in Westfield that, you know, I shared a little bit earlier. My name's Chris, and I'm the campus pastor of this Westfield campus. And you're like, well, that doesn't make sense, Chris. You're here in Fishers. You're up here on the venue stage. And this is a dream that really Crosspoint's been going after for years now. You know, it's a goal that I personally have been working towards for almost 3 years myself. It's been one that a lot of you have been contributing towards for years. And you see, we plan to launch this Crosspoint Westfield. We plan to launch this in the fall of 2020. After, you know, years of preparation, years of thought and planning. And as you're aware right now, me standing here, well, that hasn't happened yet. And the story about Paul's voyage towards Rome, it reminds me that it's not always up to us. It doesn't always matter how much time, how much energy, how much effort, how much time you put forth. Sometimes it's not in the cards to go the way that you thought that it was going to go, the way that you planned for it to go. But that doesn't mean that the story is over. It just means that you get to adjust, that you get to revise, that you get to map out a new course, which is exactly what we've done, actually. So instead of fall of 2020, we're looking at a Christmas Eve 2021 launch that will be launching Christmas Eve this year, which, man, I am super excited about. I know some of you, whether you're on the launch team, you're excited. You know, we're so excited to be there. And here's why we're still moving forward full steam ahead. It's because we know that our community needs it. And I say our community, it's where I live. We live in Westfield. We have neighbors that need a place like Crosspoint. We know that our world is looking for light in the midst of darkness. Westfield needs a place where it's okay to not have it all together. It needs a place where people are for one another. That, you know, even right now, in the midst of this season that we're walking through, we've got neighbors right now that are walking through the possible loss of a child. They were given a 5% chance, and they've come to us, and they're like, Chris, Hannah, will you please pray for a miracle? And so we're there. We're praying with neighbors right now that I have no idea where they are on the spectrum of faith, but they're asking us to pray. We've got neighbors on the other side that have never walked in the doors of a church before in their entire lives. They just moved to this state just this past year. They know nothing about church. Every time I talk to them about it, they look at me with the biggest eyes, like, you're talking about the Jungle Cruise this weekend? Yes, I am. Here we are. Man, free movie tickets. This is your opportunity. You see, Westfield needs a place where it's okay to not have it all together. Westfield needs a place where you can walk in and get a great cup of coffee and enjoy a conversation and connect and have community together. And we know that people, they're looking for hope. They're looking to connect with something bigger than themselves. And we also know that one of the best ways to do this is to start new things, which is why we're starting Crosspoint Westfield Christmas Eve this year. And Crosspoint, broad Crosspoint, everybody, whether you're watching us online, you're joining us from Florida, or you're here in the vineyard, part of Crosspoint Fishers, this is our opportunity to be light in a really dark world. This is our chance for even the dimmest of stars to shine bright in the darkness of night. We saw last week, Brad and the Crosspoint band, they're singing about it. I mean, this is our opportunity to declare the goodness of God, just like Paul has done in the darkest of situations, when it seems like all hope is lost, that even in the midst of the storm, we can know the peace of God. That even in the midst of the storm, we can know the goodness, the strength, the courage, the faithfulness of God. This is our chance for Crosspoint Westfield and Crosspoint Fishers to be a safe harbor for people. That's what Paul and his guys were looking for. They're looking for safe harbor. They're looking for a place to rest, to refuel, to find some hope, and then to be sent back out. This is our opportunity, Crosspoint. This is our chance. This is our mission. And just because our time frame looks different, it doesn't mean that the mission has changed. Our mission is to help people find their way to God. And that doesn't change just because we've moved back a year. And when we look at this story of Paul on the way to Rome, we see that even when they weren't going the way that they thought it was going to go, even when things were taking a turn for the worse, even when it seemed like shipwreck was on the horizon, there was still work to do. Even in Malta. I don't know if you know anything about Malta. I don't know if you've pulled up a Mediterranean map yet, but Malta is this tiny little island off the coast of Italy. And it's this island where Paul and his guys eventually get shipwrecked, just like he thought would happen. And we see later on the story that after they make landfall, Paul, he gets to work. He gets up and he gets to work. He starts picking up firewood, starts picking up sticks because, well, there's a lot of guys. It's the late fall. They need a big fire, right? And so Paul gets to work. And then even later on, he goes and he prays for the chief official of the island's father who's come down with this illness. Check this out. It says, as it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery. And Paul, he went in and he prayed for him. He laid his hands on him and he healed him. Then all of the other sick people on the island, they came and they were healed. And this is a reminder to me, and it should be a reminder to you, that even in the face of discouragement, even in the face of disillusion, even when it seems like, well, God, this is not the hand I thought I was dealt. This is not the way it was supposed to go. It should be a reminder to you. It's a reminder to me to don't miss the Malta. Don't miss the Malta on your way to Rome. Don't allow yourself to continue to lament over the fact that you're in Malta and not in Rome and miss out on the opportunities that you have right now. Malta, it might be your office. It might be your workplace. It might be, you know, at your house, in your school, in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a coworker that's looking for connection or in need of some desperate hope and light in the darkness of their life. Maybe that is your Malta. You see, Paul, he's stuck. He's stuck on this island of Malta waiting for another ship to show up, waiting for another opportunity to get to Rome, waiting to go to his purpose, his destiny in Rome. But we don't see him just sitting there and moping and wait, just kind of waiting like, all right, I guess I'll just wait. I don't know when this next thing. No. Paul gets to work. We see him to begin to serve, first by gathering that firewood to take care of the crew, and then by praying and healing those on the island. And this is Paul. Like, this is the Apostle Paul. This is like one of those really important guys. My middle name is actually Paul. Like, this is one of those guys that's immortalized all over the world. I mean, statues are named after him. Children are named after him. I mean, his church is named after him all over the entire world. This is Paul. This is an important guy. And yet, what do we see him doing here? He gets up and he starts to pick up some sticks. You see, he's not too big for the little work that needs to be done. He goes about serving right from the very start. And maybe this is something that you need to begin to do again. Maybe you've been lamenting the fact that things aren't the way that you want them to be. Maybe you're lamenting the fact that things aren't the way they were back in 2019 and that life hasn't gone back completely and you've stopped serving others. You've gone on a hiatus. You've wished that things were different. Maybe it's time to get back on the horse. Maybe it's time to pick up some sticks and begin to engage in the mission again. Like, actually, just a few weeks ago, I heard about this group of guys that was serving back in Upstreet. These four men that were serving in Upstreet. You know, this is kindergarten through fourth grade. These are kids that they want to get down on the ground with you. They want to laugh. They're going to dance. They're going to jump around. They want to paint and play checkers. I mean, these kids have high energy. And there was four men back there serving in Upstreet. And they were having fun. They were laughing. They're down on the ground. They're engaging. They're spending time with the next generation and pouring out into them. Four men that weren't too big to get down on the floor and play a game of checkers or paint or dance. And these men, they remind me of Paul in Malta. Never too big for the moment. You see, when I see these guys, I see Upstreet volunteers. But the rest of the week, these are like CEOs and business owners and executives. These are important people. These are like the top dogs of their individual office spaces. And here they are serving, laughing, dancing, having fun with kids. These guys, they're important people doing what some might see as insignificant work, but it's just the opposite. It's maybe the most important work that they'll do in their entire week. And so instead of lamenting the shipwreck and the storms that are going on all around you, lamenting that they're not going the way that you want them to go, maybe it's time to pick up some sticks again and to start serving someone else. So here's the question for you. It's actually one of your next steps this week. What's something that you can do for someone else? It's actually, you know, one of these next steps. How can you begin to serve right where you are right now? Are you here with us in person? Man, awesome. We've got so many opportunities organizationally where you can serve. You can be a part of the mission, whether it's, you know, greeting the doors, serving up street on one of the tech teams. I mean, there are opportunities to serve right here, right now. If you're joining us online, you can be a part of our online host teams. You can host an online journey group this fall. I mean, when it comes to serving, though, church is just one way. It's a built-in way for so many to serve, but it's just one way. There are so many personal ways that you can serve as well, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your office. So maybe it's time to start picking up some sticks again. Maybe it's time, maybe this is your time. Maybe it's time to jump onto that launch team for Westfield. Maybe it's time to help launch a brand new campus in this community just west of us. It's time. If that's something that maybe you're interested in or you've had thoughts about, maybe you're I don't know, it could work, it could be something I could be a part of. Well, maybe you just decide right now, maybe mark this on your connection card. You're going to join us at our next launch team gathering. Friday, September 17th, we'll be over in Westfield. And this is an opportunity for you to see the community, to see the building that we'll be meeting at, to find out some needs about what's going on in Westfield and how are we a part of bringing light into dark spaces. And if you're already on the launch team, would you just write that date down right now? Whether you're joining us online, you're here in the seas, just write that date down. And would you commit to be there in person? You'll find out more about what you can expect. You know, we'll have an email going out this week, but in many ways that you can get involved this fall. But would you just mark that on your connection card? Commit to be there. And if you're sitting there today, maybe you're joining us online, you're starting to feel like a bit of a nudge, feeling God that maybe is prompting you to come and to just find out more. Would you just trust him enough to come just one time and find out a little bit more? Or maybe you're thinking, man, Chris, that sounds great, but I'm connected here. Like, this is my community. That's awesome. Would you dive in? Would you become more a part of what's going on here in Fishers? Because we need you here as well. So would you just come, see our community, this new location, connect with others on the team, find out more about the mission? You see, the jungle is out there. And it's our job to guide with the light that we've been given. It's time to serve your way back to joy, to serve your way back to peace and purpose. Can we be faithful in the Malta on the way to Rome, on the way to our purpose? I think we can, and I think we should. Lily and Frank, they find themselves nearing the end of their journey. They're starting to feel a little defeated. They're starting to wonder, like, man, is this ever going to happen for us? And in the midst of these feelings, this hardship, this difficulty, they leaned in. And they joined forces and they continued to move forward. And the same can be said about us right here. It's time to join in, to join forces and to continue to move forward. And you might be wondering, Chris, why Westfield? Why are we starting something new 30 minutes from here? There's lots of stuff that needs to happen here in Fishers. Well, it's because of people that I actually just met this past week. This young couple, they're new to the area. The wife, she's actually never, you know, grown up in church, but haven't really found a place. The husband's never been in a church before. They're like kind of interested, kind of not, don't really know what a church is like. But we spent some time with them at a Westfield campus or launch team backyard barbecue just this past week. And we just spent time connecting. They're looking for hope. They're looking for light. They're looking for community, a place to belong, something bigger than themselves. You see, that's why we're starting something new in Westfield. And now one last thing. We're going to stand. I'm going to wrap this up. We'll get you out of here in just a minute. So you can go ahead and stand. But one last thing. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity, in light of all that we've talked about today, to not give you the chance to own this personally. That maybe you're sitting there thinking, Chris, well, that's where I am right now. I'm ready to belong to something bigger than myself. I'm ready to have a greater purpose in my life. Well, today could be your day. As we pray, I'm going to give you the chance to commit to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus, to be a part of the light of the world, and to commit to be a guide for others. Because we all need somebody to show us the way. Let's pray. God, today I pray for everyone in this room, whether they're watching online or they're joining us here in the venue. God, I pray that if that is where they are, that they would just say yes to you. They would say, yes, Jesus, that's what I need. That's what I want. That they would accept this invitation to follow you, Jesus, to be a part of your kingdom. Not my past, not my shame, but yes, Jesus, I belong. I belong to you. It's in your name.